Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As was mentioned, we'll be following the Gospel of Luke in chapter 14. The date was February 24th, 1964. A young boxer, gold medal winner in the 1960 Olympics, entered the ring to fight the heavyweight champion of the world, Sonny Liston. Sonny Liston did not answer the bell for the seventh round. And Cassius Clay, later to be known as Muhammad Ali, became the new champion. Following the fight, with reporters crowding around him, he first pointed at the paper reporters and told them that he had predicted this. "I told you so! I told you so!" he said. Those were the words he shouted at them. After that, he proceeded to tell the audience and anyone who would listen that he was the king of the world. He was the greatest. "Look at my face, not a mark on it. I am the greatest." And that, in short order, would become his byline. I personally remember that event for two reasons. My dad was a fight enthusiast with a couple of gold teeth replacements to prove that he got in fighting. He would pay to see the fights on the closed-circuit broadcasts in the theaters. My mom, she got all upset when Cassius Clay bragged about being the greatest. Bragging like that was out of place, even though he had accomplished becoming the heavyweight champion. You know, it was Uncle Jesse on the old Dukes of Hazzard who used to say, "It's not bragging if it's so." And it was so. Ali did win the fight. Though he did lose the title then for draft evasion, once by fight, only to win it for a third time. Yes, he went by the name the greatest. But I submit for your consideration that there's only one greatest, and it was not Ali. Jesus is the greatest of all time. We bow in humility to his greatness. We live in humility to honor his greatness. It was a Sabbath. Meals that had been prepared on Friday were enjoyed following going to the synagogue. Jesus may have been a guest preacher, we're not sure that day, but was invited to the Pharisees' home for lunch. If arranged in the usual way, the tables may have been arranged in a U-shaped pattern, with the host sitting in the middle of the bottom of the U. Special guests and friends were permitted to sit at the table of the host, somewhat like at a wedding reception, where the wedding party gets to sit at the head table with the bride and the groom. While waiting for all the arrangements to be made, Jesus was observing how everyone was behaving. After all, they were carefully watching him as well. But he watched them in the way they would take their places around the tables. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. A lot of the guests were vying for the head table. Not so unlike bench players always wanting to sit near the coach so they can be noticed and put into the game. So Jesus says, and if he's teaching them a parable, you know he's going to teach them a quick lesson as well. He said, when someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this person your seat." Then humiliated, you'll have to take the least important place. But he said, when you're invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he'll say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you'll be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And how embarrassing that is, isn't it? Or would be if you had to give up your chair or couch, actually. Reminds me of a time we went with some friends to the Joe Louis Arena in Detroit, Michigan, to watch the Champions on Ice, a performance of the medal winners of that most recent Olympics. We thought we'd have great seats because we weren't real familiar with that stadium. And, well, we found out we were much farther back than we really anticipated or had hoped for. However, there were all sorts of seats open right down by the ice. The folks we were with encouraged us to go with them. "Come on, let's go down there and use those seats." Well, and we would just move if others did arrive finally. Well, they did not arrive for the entire first half. If I recall correctly, we maybe had to move once, but then we just adjusted to a different seat nearby. We thought we had it made. And then the bus came, late, but loaded with the rows of people whose seats we were in. So with everyone around watching, we had to get up out of the seats that we'd been for half the show, trudge up the stairs to our assigned seats, where we then proceeded to move the folks out who had improved their situation by taking over our seats. It was obvious to everyone, we were not the honored guests. What Jesus was teaching currently was a lesson on humility. Not to think of ourselves as being greater than we are, but to respect and honor those who are. The one, the greatest, our Savior Jesus. Let me ask a real personal question here when we think of this. Why are we here? Why are we taking part of our day to sit together in church? What are you hoping to get out of our time together? Are we hoping to be seen and acknowledged? Are we hoping to be served? Are we working at building a fine reputation about who we are and how much we love Jesus? Are you here for you? Or do you come humbly before our Lord and ask Him fervently to help us in our life and in our current situation? You see, on the one side, if we think it's all about us, that's prideful, isn't it? Where is humility in that? Play what I want, meet my needs, preach what I want to hear, do it all my way. Do we see in each of us a little bit of, I am the greatest? Want to see humility? Take a look at what Jesus did for you. The very Son of God, for whom equality with God was nothing for him to grasp at, made himself nothing. He took on the role of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. If anyone could teach about humility, Jesus certainly fit the bill. And rather than come and tell Jesus what you want or should not, that we shouldn't have to bow in humility and plead, God be merciful to me, a sinner. He is the reason we have hope. He is the reason we are forgiven. Nothing in our hands we bring. Simply to your cross we cling. Doesn't matter what we believe we have accomplished. Without Jesus, we are nothing. It's been reported that the author Alex Haley, the author of the novel Roots, has a picture in his office of a turtle resting on top of a fence post. When asked about the picture and its significance to him, he said, "That picture is there to remind me a lesson that I've learned long ago." He said, "If you see a turtle on a fence post, you know he had to have some help." And then he continued, "Anytime I start thinking, wow, is not this thing marvelous that I've accomplished and done? I look at that picture and I remember how this turtle, me, got up on that post." Is that not the reason for the cross in the front of our church? To remind us what it took for us to be children of God, the sacrifice made by our loving God, who gave for us his one and only Son. That needs to be our why we are here in our conversation, that we humbly bow before the greatness of the Lord to acknowledge our unworthiness and to thank him for his grace and mercy. Now, Jesus, being the great teacher he is, did not stop there. No, he continued on with his lesson on humility, because then he spoke to the host. "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." To clarify just a bit, Jesus was not advocating against parties or gatherings. Matter of fact, he was a guest at the gathering right there, wasn't he? He and his disciples had once attended a wedding in Canaan, for which Jesus also provided a wedding gift of excellent wine. Jesus is teaching about humble service that gives glory to God. If what we do is all about us, where is God in the picture? Illustrate that concept is to offer about a story that's told about two brothers who grew up on a farm. As time passed, the one brother went away to college and became a successful lawyer, for a large and well-known law firm, while the other brother continued and worked on the farm. The lawyer brother returned to the farm one day and asked his brother, "Why don't you go out and make a name for yourself and hold your head up high in the world like me?" To which his brother replied, "See that field of wheat over there? Look closely. Only the empty heads stand up. Those that are well filled bow low." Said differently, maybe, the branch that bears the most fruit is bent the lowest to the ground. Christian humility is not being the doormat for the world to walk over, but to provide a door to walk through to meet our Savior. Living lives of contentment and courage, peace, love, and encouragement for others does not make the headlines in most cases. But those are the lives which confidently show that which is lasting and true and forever. Someone brought up the fact in a humorous way. On Palm Sunday, you can be quite sure that the donkey Jesus was riding on did not think that the excitement and palm branches and the songs were for him, but for the one riding on him. The one riding him, after all, is the King of the world, the greatest ever and always. We humbly bow to his greatness, knowing we were not worthy to be before him, and yet he made us worthy. He humbled himself that we might be his own, that we might live for his honor, to his glory, and in thanksgiving for his love, in all humility saying, "You are the greatest, Lord. Let me follow. Let me serve." Yes, we humbly bow to the one who is truly the greatest. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of God that goes beyond all understanding keep your hearts and mind in true faith as we humbly serve our Lord till we stand with him in glory. Amen.